Hello, and welcome to the Lifecast. This week we'll be featuring Associate Pastor Aaron Broberg sharing his message entitled, Just Add Grace. The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. We hope that you enjoy this week's Lifecast.
Thank you, Felicia. Well, good morning. Has anybody ever been, or maybe you are here and you would think that you are over-saved? Anybody? That's not really a term that you've probably heard of before, right? Over-saved? What is over-saved? What in the world is Pastor Aaron talking about? You're waiting for me to read a scripture verse about over-saved, I'm sure. There isn't one, but over-saved might be when, I have a video clip, actually, that is going to show it that the guys are going to throw up here a second, but we're going to talk a little bit about grace this morning, and oversaved is part about it here. Let's see what oversaved is.
Friends, where you got some Christian friends who are cool, right? You can hang around with them. You have friends who may not be Christian yet, but then you got Christian friends, right, who are, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to put it out there. You ever know somebody that was oversaved? Like, you can't even have a regular conversation with them. You just try to be like, man, it's a hot one. It's pretty hot. Huh, I'm thirsty. You thirsty? Thirsty for the Lord. Okay, cool. Hey, I lost my keys. Could you help me find my keys? Seek first the kingdom of God. It's like, I just lost my keys. Well, I don't know. You need the keys to the kingdom. I didn't drive a kingdom today. I just drove a Toyota. And I know as soon as I said oversaved, some of y'all already had somebody in mind. But if you didn't, they probably had you in mind. You might be oversaved and you don't even know it. I'm going to help you out. This is how you can know if you're oversaved. If you're at the restaurant and you order a fruit salad, you start to pray over it. But your prayer lasts so long, by the time you eat, it's trail mix. You oversaved. If your friend buys you a vacuum cleaner and you rebuke it because it's a dirt devil.
I found that clip a while back on the internet, and I was thinking, how in the world can I figure out a way to use that in a sermon? So luckily today I did. It's pretty funny guy. Michael Jr. is a Christian comedian, and that was just a portion about being oversaved. I thought that was funny because I thought it was really funny when he talks about saying, you know, you're probably thinking of somebody, and if you're not, somebody's probably thinking about you. But it's kind of funny, sometimes in church, especially for people maybe who are not raised in a church, you walk into a church and you just kind of walk into the situation where people are just talking about God all the time. You can be like, whoa, these people are oversaved. I can hear somebody saying, like, I don't know what is going on in the church, but they are oversaved. Well, nobody's really oversaved because you probably have to, you know, get involved in something like perfection to be oversaved. If you are perfect, salvation isn't necessary. Well, is there anybody perfect here this morning? Because if that's the case, I want us all to get up and leave if you're perfect. But I'm guessing if you're married, you're definitely not going to stand up because your spouse will pull you down quickly. And otherwise, there's just no perfect people. There isn't anybody who is perfect. Really, because if there was, if we were really perfect, there would be no need for God's grace in our lives. And I want to talk about grace this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 talks about God's grace. See, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, you can turn there if you like. We're going to bounce around in Ephesians in Romans quite a bit, hit Acts a little bit today. But I do want to talk about grace because I think it's really important that we understand how important God's grace is in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works for which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, that's the scripture about God's gift of grace to us. And how we don't have to do anything except receive it through faith. And really, grace defined is God's unmerited favor toward humanity, towards us, fulfilled in his Son Jesus, revealed and given to us by his Holy Spirit. You see, God's grace is a gift for each one of us. It is unmerited favor. There is nothing that we can do, say, be, any way we can act. There's no special devotional. There's nothing we can really do to gain more grace from God. There's nothing, no action, no special trick, no real great mathematical or spiritual equation that we can do to get God to put a little more grace on our life. Grace is free. It's a gift. And it came, in a physical sense, through Jesus. You see, without grace, we would have no opportunity to know God at all. We would be separate from God, because that's what it says in the Word, right? It says, if we have sin in our life, then we are separate from God, because sin and God don't mix. That's not really in the Bible. That's my way of saying it, if you're wondering. Sin and God don't mix. You see, God sent his Son Jesus to bridge that gap. And his Son is his gift of grace to us. And through him, we can have eternal life. If you look at Romans 5:21, it says this. Should be up on the screen there. 5:21 says, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Jesus died for our sins, right? We accept him. We are reborn in the Spirit. And we can begin a relationship with God. But see, grace is out there for us. He sent his Son. Grace is obtainable for all of us. It's a gift. To receive a gift, you just got to take it, right? Well, how do we take a spiritual gift from God? How do we take something that is intangible from God? Well, see, in this scripture verse, it talks about faith. See, grace needs the human counterpart, which is faith, to function, to be released. The gift to be opened, it needs to be opened. If it is a gift, it needs to be opened through our faith, our belief in Christ, our belief in God, the Creator. See, we need grace. We need to have the faith in God for salvation, for maturity, and for establishing God's kingdom. Grace really is an all-important aspect or function of the kingdom of God. Our relationship with God depends on it. Our salvation depends on it. Our maturity and growth depends on God's grace. Everything in our relationship, his kingdom, depends on his willingness to have favor on us, unmerited favor upon us. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I'm going to go through a bunch of scripture verses, but I want to set something up because I think this is real important today that you catch this. You see, he gave us his Son, Jesus, as a gift of grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 19 says this. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer your parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to every increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. But now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, when we accept Jesus, we accept that gift. We unlock his freedom in our life, the freedom from sin. When we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you'll see in Romans 10:9, I'll read that to you here. It's up on the screen. 10:9, Romans 10:9 says this. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You see, to accept Christ, we need to have faith in our heart. We need to believe that he is Lord, that intangible faith. We also need to confess with our mouth that he is Jesus. So faith takes up two things in our lives. It's in two different formats, so to speak. It's an intangible thing within our heart that we believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and has the ability to bring new life to us. And so we confess that with our mouth. One's intangible, one is very tangible. One is an action where we confess Jesus is Christ and Lord. And we have this rebirth that happens within us. And we now have to deal with maybe some of the imperfections in our lives, because it says we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but you know the gift of God is Jesus. And we can obtain that gift for salvation. Grace is necessary for salvation, but it is also very necessary for growth in our Christian walk. Sometimes we think grace in that, yes, he gave us his son. He's giving me unmerited favor by allowing his son to die for me so I don't have to face death. Spiritual death, when I pass away out of this body, I can go to heaven and be with God eternally. We think of grace that way. But grace needs to happen daily in our life. Daily. It's very important that we know that. It's used for salvation in the beginning of our walk. But if that's the only way that we tap into God's grace, then we missed out on a whole nother aspect of what God wants to do in our lives as Christians. And we have to understand that God has grace for us every day so that we can grow and mature as Christians. What do you mean he has grace for us? Well, you ever screwed up before? You ever sinned before? Right? Yeah, we all have. Well, he gives us opportunity to grow through our mistakes. Romans chapter 3, you guys have obviously heard a lot of these scriptures. They're some of the basic founding scriptures for salvation. Romans 3:23 says this, "For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus." You see, we all have sin, and we're justified. We're brought into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. Now, that's not just for salvation. That's for every day. See, there's something called forgiveness, right? It's not a one-time deal. Initially, it's a one-time deal where we're reborn, where redemption happens, where we're purchased by God's blood, and we're made new again. But now, as we're made new and God's heart is released within us, and we have a new heart, we have these godly characteristics that want to be put into our life. The problem with that is this spirit, this rebirth happens here in this body. I would love it when I got saved if I became 15 again. Woohoo! And a nice new body. I have to wait to heaven to have a new body. Mine has began to deteriorate. And I try to fight it, but I think I'm just going to give in and let it go. but, you know, we're reborn. We're Christians. We've applied that grace. But then God also has grace for us to grow on a daily basis. So we sin. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that something is wrong or out of place or does not line up with his spirit, does not line up with his word, does not line up with who he has called us to be as his son or daughter. And so we have to apply the grace. What is that? To apply it, We have to have faith, and we have to believe that, you know what, I can ask for forgiveness for the things that I've done wrong, or the mistakes I had, or the deception that has laid in my heart or my mind, or the attitudes that I've had. And as God reveals that, I have to be willing to ask for forgiveness from those things and be committed to turning away from those things so that I can grow as a Christian. And God's saying, I will give you, I will not treat you as you deserve if you will ask for forgiveness. Matter of fact, I will not only not treat you, I will not judge you for your sin, I will forgive them, I will remove them from you, they'll be forgotten forever, and they will no longer have any influence on your life. And matter of fact, when you ask for forgiveness and you turn away from that thing and you walk in my direction and in my leading and what it says in my word according to how I wanted to create you, begin to walk as a Christian, he then also releases his freedom and his spirit in your life. And you grow then as a Christian. See, that growth cannot happen in our life without the grace of God. And God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. It's important. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I told you I was going to jump around a little bit this morning. Chapter 12, verse 9 says this. Somebody realized that they were not perfect. Somebody in the Bible realized that they were messed up, that they needed to tap in to the grace of God. Well, that's Paul. We all know Paul was called Saul, who was a murderer. So God decided to pick a murderer, a religious murderer, to become the first missionary of the New Testament church. And this is Paul writing this, and he says this. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. It's good stuff. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Have you ever felt weak before? Ever felt weak before? Sure. We all have areas in our lives that we are dissatisfied or we consider weak. Well, the great thing, because of God's grace, our weaknesses can become strong. Now, there's another part of that. We must have faith for that to happen. Faith in Jesus and his power to forgive and redeem my unredeemable qualities, to take weaknesses and make them strengths, to take sin, to wipe it out, to help us turn from it, to continue to walk in his ways so that he can release his fruit, his character into our life so that we can grow as a Christian. And too often, all too often, we get hung up on our weaknesses, right? It's human nature. It's okay. Don't feel guilty for getting hung up on your weaknesses. Because every day, I think of things that I couldn't do because I don't have this ability or I don't have that ability. And I still get up and preach, and I just laugh because I'm going to go come and speak. And I'm not... this is a good example. My grammar is not great. My reading ability, I can read really fast if I don't have to talk, but some reason from my mind to my mouth, things get all messed up. God did something, or my mom dropped me, or my brother hit me too hard or something when I was a kid. But it doesn't work quite right. And I think, you know, it's funny that I was petrified of getting up and speaking when I was a kid. I would skip days of school. I would do anything not to be in speech class. I was just the kid that did not want to talk. That is funny because my brothers and sisters used to pay me to be quiet. But that wasn't in front of people in school. That was just being obnoxious to my brothers and sisters, which is good stuff. But, you know, we all have our weaknesses. God can make them strong. God uses weak people. God uses your weaknesses more than he uses your talents, in my opinion. Because The things that I'm strong in, I don't necessarily need to rely on God. He still uses them, but I have that ability within me. The things where I have to rely on God is areas that I'm weak. And I find when I apply God's Spirit to those weaknesses and I move from them and I don't allow them to hinder me and I access that grace, I can walk in God's favor. I can walk in His grace. You see, God really is about building His kingdom through His grace, through that process of salvation, that process of growth and maturity that is happening every day. He wants to establish His kingdom. He wants us to walk in that grace. He doesn't want us just to access His grace on Sunday mornings during worship. He doesn't want us just to access His grace in the beginning of salvation when you accept Christ into your life. He doesn't want us just to access it on Wednesday nights. He doesn't want us to have a religious access to grace. I will access God's grace through my faith only when I'm in church. No, He wants us to access His grace through our faith every single day because He wants to build His kingdom upon His grace, which is really Him sending His Son, Jesus, Him sending His Spirit to let us go through that process of sanctification. He will not deal with us according to what we deserve because of our faith in Him in a process of forgiveness so that He can use us in our weaknesses. That's what the Word says. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Let's read it to you, just a short portion of Scripture. It says this: "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all." Well, I went and looked up in the Bible, and I wanted to see, because there's lots of times in the Greek, we'll use the word grace, and it'll have one meaning, but lots of times they'll have several meanings for one word. And I wanted to go see how this word grace was used in the actual text, the Greek text. And I would attempt to say the Greek word, but we know that would just be a made-up statement of, you know, wouldn't sound anything like Greek, so I just skip that part and get to the meaning. The meaning is to thrive. And there's about four or five meanings that word is used for in different contexts, but in this context, in the Greek, they were using it, the apostles were thriving in God's grace. And I think that's an interesting way to use the word grace. It was bringing life to them. They were thriving upon it. The kingdom of God was thriving because they were living out God's grace in a daily fashion. We know in the New Testament church, they says they were doing, with great power, the apostles continued to what? Testify of the resurrection. See, they were establishing the kingdom of God, not because they were brilliant philosophers or theologians or were great guys with great things to say. They were well-spoken. Or because they had jumped through all the hoops in the religious law. No, they were testifying about the risen Savior because they were thriving. They were living, walking, and understood God's grace. And if we will walk in God's grace, if we will walk in His unmerited favor, letting our weaknesses become our strengths, we will fulfill that Greek word and thrive. And when you are thriving in your relationship with God, you begin to testify. You are a testimony. You don't have to have a 3-point sermon at break time to win somebody to the Lord. You just live your life and you befriend them and you have a relationship with them and they see, you know what? That person is different. There's something that they are walking with that I do not have. And it's the grace of God. That's that you have. God has favor on their lives. You ever been treated by God that in a way that you didn't deserve? Sure, we all have. You accepted Christ. You've been treated in a way that you didn't deserve. So God wants to establish His kingdom that way. Acts chapter 11, verse 23 says this. Find it here. And when he arrived, we're talking about Barnabas, when they arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Talking about Barnabas going and seeing a church. And it says there was evidence. He saw evidence of the grace of God. What was that evidence? Many people turning to the Lord. Many people turning to the Lord. He saw evidence of God's grace. See, the evidence of God's grace is his kingdom being built. People being saved. People confessing. People asking forgiveness. Us walking and functioning as God designed us to be as Christians. A church that is alive. A church that is going to say, you know what? I don't care about my weakness. I don't care about my past. I don't care what has gone on in my life. I am going to allow God's faith to rise up within me. I'm going to have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, healer, redeemer, the Holy Spirit who can show me how to live in life. I'm going to be committed to that, to having the faith to access God's grace so that I can walk in unmerited favor for God. And you will establish the kingdom of God. You want people to know who Jesus is? Walk in supernatural favor. Right? I mean, we know what human favor can do for us, right? It's amazing just what human favor can do. Imagine supernatural, godly favor. And it doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. It doesn't mean we have to be over-saved. Right? No, matter of fact, those are impossible, unattainable here on earth. Those are not going to happen. But it does mean we have to have the faith to say, you know what, I'm going to overcome weakness in my life, and I'm going to serve God wholeheartedly, and I want his grace every day in my life. Because with his grace and his love and the things that he has promised me, I can do and be who he's called me to be. And I can reach people. I can establish his kingdom. Matthew 28:19 talks about the Great Commission. Many of you have read it. Says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, God would not have called us to evangelizing the world unless he was going to pour out his favor upon us. God would not have called us to something that we could not do. God's not going to ask you something, ask something of you that you cannot be or do. It may be in your own ability, yeah, but you may not be able to do it. You say, yeah, there's no way I can do that. When he calls us to do something, he expects us to believe in our hearts and have faith. Confess with our mouth what he said we can do, and then we need to grow and mature and begin to walk in it and allow his grace to function in our lives and allow his spirit to be released so that people, just like me and you, can know Jesus. And Satan will continually, constantly, without end, remind you of your incapabilities. Remind you of the things that you cannot do. Remind you of the things where you are unable, you're unfit, you're unqualified, you're unrighteous. He will remind you of those things. And he won't stop. Because he knows if he can get you to buy in to believing that you are weak and alone, and that there is no grace for your life, then he can defeat, or he can, he can attempt to defeat what Christ wants to do here on earth, which is establish the kingdom, give everybody the opportunity to know him, to let people have an opportunity to live a free life, to accept Jesus, that none would perish. That's his desire. I have another video clip that I want us to play right here before I close service. Something for me. Unfaithful, unwise, unexceptional, unworthy, undone, undecided, unrighteous, unsure, unqualified, unmerciful, unbroken, unaware, unreachable, unmended, unfair, unteachable, uneasy, unfit, unwilling, unapproachable, undesirable, unemotionable. Guess we could probably pick a few more things. What haven't you been in your life? We could list many, many things that we haven't been. The great thing about that is, no matter what you haven't been, what you haven't done, you are loved. Unmerited, unconditional love. that comes from your Creator and His Son, Jesus, who died for us. See, God has His love. You can go ahead and play, James, if you like. God has love for each one of us. And there's nothing that you need to do to receive that love, except really believe that He is the Son of God, that He has the ability to overcome our weaknesses. He has the ability to bring salvation. He has the ability to redeem you, to make you loved, to make you all those things that you feel like you are not. That's what Christ does. He takes the weak and He makes them strong. Just read the Bible. Ask David, the little shepherd boy. Look at the way that he came to a stable as Jesus came, was born in a humble way. He takes those who are weak and He makes them strong. He takes those that are sick and He makes them well. He is a God that heals. He takes sickness and He brings life and health. And I want you to know that is for you this morning. If you're sick in body, we prayed for that before, but I want to encourage you, and I want to just profess again that Jesus heals our diseases. I believe that. He takes the lost and He finds them. He takes those that are imprisoned or deceived and He gives them freedom. Freedom to live as He wants us to live. A freedom from sin. A freedom to live and walk in the unmerited favor of God and be and do more than I ever expected that I could do in life. To be and do and become a better father or a better mother. To raise a family that honors God. And start a blessing from generation to generation to generation. See, God's grace is really, you break it down to the very simplest form. It's about His love for us and the freedom that He wants to release in our lives. A freedom that has been tarnished or zapped by sin and our imperfection.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
Thank you for listening to the Lifecast. If you'd like more information about New Life Assembly of God, log on to the website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for joining us. We will see you next time on the Lifecast.